Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Welcome. Let's talk to Russell Fryer. He is the CEO of Critical Metals. I'm very interested in this gentleman because he owns 22% of the shareholding. Okay, so he's got skin in the game. He's not into football, but he doesn't like Man United. What can I say? I won't comment on that. Russell, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
Okay, let's talk about the company you're involved in. Okay, this is obviously a readmission to the exchange. What happened?
So we listed on the Standard Exchange on the 29th of September 2020, right in the middle of COVID. And everyone was betting against us that not only could we not list, but we wouldn't be able to find an asset. We actually had two potential transactions before this one. We had initial discussions, sort of agreed to a number and an equity position, and we had the rug pulled out on us. One was an antimony mine and one was a vanadium mine. Subsequently, the Mululu mine came available to the board. Copper, cobalt, very strategic. We are looking to invest in those metals that are in the critical metals list. Copper and cobalt are obviously one of them. So during the suspension period, which was May of 2021, we actually were trying to do a second transaction. People don't know about this. So we were going to do two transactions during the suspension period. The second transaction didn't pass the due diligence test. So then we had to revert back to just our single transaction, Mululu. Come to December 2021, the London Stock Exchange had changed some rules. The Democratic Republic of the Congo government had changed some of their rules. And we had to go back and augment and renegotiate some of the contracts. So what should have been a 4 or 5 month readmission process turned out to be a 16 month process. Very frustrating for shareholders, frustrating for me, because we wanted to continue to do transactions after this. But here we are, we're trading, we have good liquidity, share price is strong, and we have our currency now to go out and not only put Mululu into production with the capital we have in the balance sheet, but also now look for transaction number two.
Okay, so you, in terms of, you're back in the market. I'm a shareholder. I've been suspended for almost, well, in excess of a year. Okay, next 12 months, what's the plan?
So we'll be in production over the next, within the next 60 to 90 days. And one of the lessons that I learned as an ex-commodities fund manager was the biggest amount of money I ever lost was with those mining companies that never had cash flow.
Yep.
So when there was a Two Sigma event or a Black Swan event, such as COVID,
yep,
those companies didn't have cash flow, couldn't survive. So in our DNA, we really have three boxes. One, any transaction that we get involved with has to be cash flow within 12 months. Number two, we want it to be polymetallic. And number three, we don't want to pay more than 1x EBITDA for any asset. So that keeps us in a tight box in the critical metal space. So over the next 12 months, we're going to have production from Mululu. What is highly, highly shareholder value accretive is a JORC report. So we have a pool of capital set aside already to drill. We want to drill that cobalt anomaly. We'll drill in the copper mines that we have to extend this out to 10 years minimum. And then we'll put that into a report. The competent person will sign off on it and we'll release a JORC report. Markets love to see JORC reports because it tells right. them that we have something that's substantial okay. and can grow.
Political risk?
Oh, there's political risk everywhere. So I was involved with the vanadium and uranium company in North America. And I had Hollywood activists fund litigation against us just to drain our treasury. So there's political risks in North America, just like there's political risks in the DRC. So, you know, we're going to be good neighbors. We're coming in. We're actually on the lookout now for a country manager, someone based in Kinshasa or Lubumbashi, that will act as a bridge between myself, the CEO, and the government. And we're going to have excellent government relations. We already have a general ESG plan on the ground for the village that is right next to our mine. We want to put in electricity, we want to put in hydro, we want to put in solar and wind in order to not only fund the camp operations, but also give them some electricity in their village so they have a better life. So we have a real plan on the ESG and the political side to make sure that we're on the right side of the government.
But in terms of ESG, these are fancy words, aren't they? Everyone's talking about that. Is this, what can you say about that a little bit more?
Well, you know, there's no power lines out where we're at. So,
right.
you know, we have to bring in diesel or heavy fuel oil. And if I can put in some type of secondary or tertiary power generation unit, wind, solar, hydro, because we have a stream, small river, but we call it a stream on our property, that would obviously cut costs, makes our margins go higher, but also too, we should have excess capacity or excess supply in terms of power, and we should be able to give some to the villagers, right? So this is a real deal. Not only is it good for the company, but it's good for relations on the ground.
What about in terms of the rainy seasons? You know, is this going to affect the business, the mines?
It absolutely does. So for example, a lot of the roads are dirt roads. So unless you have proper road rehabilitation during the dry season, drainage and such, you could actually get in big trouble during the wet season. The wet season's coming, it starts in November or so. We can mine in our open pits with it during the rainy season. You have to have a sump pump that pumps out quicker than the rains come. The rainy season is roughly 3 months of hard rains, and then on either side, a month and a half or so, soft rains. But so we're gonna start with oxides during the rain season. It's 5 meters deep, and we're just gonna scrape the overburden off, 1.5 meter scrape, and then we're gonna bring in mine the first 5 meters along trend. And then when the rain season stops, we'll dewater the pits and start accessing the sulfide.
Okay, so I think I read you got $750,000, which I guess is the right currency in the bank account at the moment. What could go wrong?
Well, there's a lot of things. So we had, for our last financials, before the £2 million raise that we had £1 million of net cash and £24,000 of debt. And then we raised £1.8 million pounds now at 20 pence, and we had £200,000 of warrants that were converted. So roughly we raised another £2 million. So we're cash flush. So the $750,000 is going in for the restart of Mululu. What does the restart mean? Well, we've already touched on the road rehabilitation. We're going to hire, we've hired a project manager. We're going to bring in the tents from South Africa, a 20-person camp, the kitchens, equipment, XRF. That $750,000 will cover that restart of the mine. So what could go wrong? Well, we have high-grade ore. You know, our low-grade ore is 2% copper. And if you look at what's going on in Chile and Peru and even Arizona, their grades are 0.3, 0.4. So if we were to come across a patch of mineralization that was lower grade than, say, 2%, that could be an issue. Mother Nature likes to play tricks on us. What else could go wrong? Well, there's also the cobalt anomaly that's big, but we haven't drilled yet. So maybe it only goes down 2 meters, it's 2 meter thick seam instead of what we think is 50 meters. That could be an issue. We have inflation. Inflation in the DRC is rampant.
Is it?
Everything is very, very expensive there. Hence the reason why we buy tents in South Africa and bringing them up, because it's 3 times more expensive to buy tents in the Lumbashi than it is South Africa.
Okay.
So, you know, there's cost escalations that that are now rampant, particularly we all experienced inflation in our lives in 2022. Yeah. So there's no shortage of skills. We've got a fantastic local skill set, mine engineers, geologists, and project managers. So, you know, it's not a skill set risk, it's a mineralization risk and Mother Nature playing tricks on us. Based on our geotechnical analysis and such, we don't think that's going to happen, but it could be a risk.
So the flip side to that is what could go right, and we're from sort of hedge funds, market backgrounds. If I'm looking at this interview, why would I consider having your shares in the portfolio? Perhaps you can give me 3 reasons why I should be buying your shares.
Sure. So I think if people looked at the prospectus, they would see that we're using 7,500 as an input for copper. Copper's above that already. Based on that, we should, on a 100% basis, the mine should make net $4 million. All right. So the upside, point number one, is if copper price goes above 7,500, that instantaneously drops
the bottom
line.
That's a market call. That's out of your control, right?
Sure. So number two, we don't want to sell ore. We want to sell cathode and copper hydroxide. So if we can get an agreement from one of the nearby processing plants or acquire a processing plant ourselves, our margins go up by a minimum of 53%.
Right.
So all of a sudden now your 4 million goes up to above 6 million. So in theory, for a 10 times multiple, that should give us a 60 million market cap, assuming we're successful, which everyone's bet against us, and so far we've been able to be successful. So you could see a 12 million agreement with a independent processing, or you might be able to see us acquire something that would achieve those margins. But the other point number three is, well, you talked about copper. And if we're correct in our thesis that this cobalt anomaly is big, all of a sudden now cobalt's sitting at 50,000 a ton, we'll get paid 30% of that or so. All of a sudden now the earnings have more than doubled with copper and cobalt from Mululu. So instead of 6 million, all of a sudden you're talking about 12 million. $1 per annum every single year.
But in terms of the share price being where it is at the moment, this almost sounds like a call option to me, in the sense that you've got unlimited upside and fairly limited downside.
Well, if there's an open period and the share price drops, I want to buy.
Okay.
I want to get up to 29.9%.
That's pretty confident, right? Even though you own 22%.
I'm going to 29.9% as quickly as I can. The problem is we're in such an aggressive M&A mode that the open window for directors and executives to purchase is a very short window. So I have to pick and choose very carefully when I can add, but I absolutely will add.
Any final thoughts?
Well, I'm excited to be readmitted because it's like the horse at Ascot. You know, you're in the gate, you're chomping at the bit, you want that gate to open and run. And now the gate has just opened and we're ready to go. And, you know, we're going down as a board to the Congo this week.
Does sound like you're 6-4 on, okay, leading the field.
I certainly hope so. Like I said, I tell shareholders, judge me at the 31st of December, 2022. Judge me in the next 4 months at that point, and let me prove that we're going to get cash flowing.
Well, on that note, we've run out of time. Russell Fryer, please come back and see us, okay? Because I guess we should bet lunch on where the share price is from here.
I'd love to.
But that does sound very, very encouraging to me.
Thank you for having me.
Russell, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.